Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Doom Slayers.
Yes, that's right. Our first live show is happening at Mayo Pride. How exciting.
I prefer ketchup.
We'll be bringing a special version of our cosmically acclaimed podcast with additional sketches, musical numbers, and of course, a lot of doom to slay on the 1st of June 2024.
Tickets are
8 euro and 0, 0 cents.
And are available on
www.mayopride.com.
Get your tickets now and slay it to our faces!
A wedding I went to last year. A wedding I went to last year, I was like putting lip gloss on someone's uncle.
Welcome to Doom Slayers, the podcast where we ponder and pontificate on the horrors of being a Homo sapien and what can feel like the conclusion of our earthly presence. My name is Layla Beatty.
I'm Annie Queries.
And I'm Donna Fella.
And together we are three loose women here to guide you through the doom and gloom of our dystopian present with an asinine antidote of appalling advice so you may slay away the modern malaise. This week, we will be discussing and dissecting marriage.
Ooh.
Hi, everyone. Da, da, da,
da. Who'd want to marry me?
I have been engaged.
Oh,
I've been
wow.
Enfianced. I just want to just preface this as well by saying that I do have a touch of the consumption, so I sound slightly more nasal than usual, but also a bit more husky. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, we have Manny queries here today.
Yes, Manny in the house. But yes, I have been engaged. And
how does it work when it's two boys? Who gets who the ring? No, but how did it work?
I suppose you're both on your knees, are you?
Well, okay, yeah, so I was engaged, right? No longer engaged. So that was a bit of a flop. But I proposed, which a lot of people are shocked by, which I think is homophobic, because they see me as the bottom. So they see me as the woman. So they see me as the person who receives the proposal.
But you also proposed on the leap day.
Shut up. I'm just surprised because I couldn't imagine you going, if you were proposed to.
No, I did it the year that marriage equality was passed in Ireland, which I think was 2015, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
I was graduating school.
I can't remember what
oh
I was
my
doing.
God. No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was doing my leaving cert in 2015. Yeah.
I was becoming a gay man.
A gay man. You're having your gay awakening. Mm. Your gay awakening.
Yes.
Well, I was applying for a mortgage. No, we were about to start applying for a mortgage. So, no, we were going to start saving for a mortgage. So I was like, you know, this is probably, now that it's legal, this is probably the last time we'll have disposable income for the next few years. So might as well do it now. So I did it. We went to a Greek island called Kefalonia.
Oh,
ooh, not very, Lesbos, no.
No, absolutely not. No, we're both terrible at carpentry. We couldn't go to Lesbos.
Not Mykonos.
No. We went to this lovely island called Kefalonia, and we'd been before, but it was absolutely gorgeous, like very paradisey, very gorgeous. Mm. And my partner at the time, he was like, you know, a big fan of the big gestures, you know, the romantic moments, all those kind of bits. So I knew he'd appreciate it if we were somewhere exotic when I did it. So I got the ring and we flew over, and then I kind of was like, I'm just like not sure when to do it. Like, what's the right moment? Because I knew that
he nerve-wracking.
I was up the walls.
Yeah, like, no, I would be too.
I wanted to get it over with pretty early in the trip because otherwise,
in the airport.
Phone keys. Will you marry me? We were there for a few days, and I was like, maybe during dinner. But then I was like, I feel like he wouldn't really want like an audience because that'd be a bit cringe. Mm. And I also didn't want an audience because I would be mortified because I'm not really like a big like gesture type person. But I knew he'd appreciate it, so I wanted to do it for him.
That's nice.
Yeah, but I also didn't want to completely sacrifice our dignity as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So we were on this gorge beach and it was very like secluded. And he had gone out for like a swim because he loved swimming. Loves swimming. He's not dead. I got engaged to him in absentia. No, but so he's out swimming and I was like, okay, now I'm going to do it now. And it was like a Tuesday, which is like, but no, days don't matter when you're
the
on
most romantic day.
Yeah,
of the week.
Yeah. So he was coming in, right? And I was like fumbling around to get the ring to put in my pocket. And then he came up to the beach and he was like, oh, lovely swim. And I was like, will we go for a nice walk? And he was like, oh, no. I think I'd prefer a Snickers ice cream. Like, okay, yeah, let's get those after, but let's just go for like a little stroll. But and I kind of like eventually convinced him. So we walked down the beach and then I kind of like handed them the ring in the box and I was like, will you hold that for a second? I just have to fix my flip-flop. So then I like bent down and like was pretending to fix my flip-flop.
Oh.
But I was in the proposal pose.
Oh.
So then I just, you know, said, yeah, will you marry me? And he was like, oh! And he was very shocked. So I was very thrilled. I was kind of like, I gotcha. So I was happy that the surprise went over well and he was, yeah, it was a lovely moment. Now the ring didn't fit.
Oh, shit. Because,
you know.
Cock was too big.
Huh?
His cock was too big.
Is it on?
I should have got the expandable one. No, but at the end of it all, like, he was like, you know, he's really happy. And we were like, woo. And then he was like, can we still get the Snickers ice cream? So we did. We did.
You should have put it in the bottom of a Snickers ice cream.
Yeah. Just pre-freeze it in one.
I've revised my thoughts just on marriage in general. I feel like we need to do like a reset of like what it means and what is required and everything. Because like it has like basically foundations in like trading women as property.
Mm.
Basically, doesn't it? Like yeah. The family is like, I bequeath you my daughter, man. And then like the man just like takes over the ownership of the woman. And she comes with a dowry and all
the
like
dowry
some extra
crack.
Treasures.
So what's the issue?
Dowries are mad. Like there were dowries in my like parents' like generation.
Yeah,
they
I
were
know.
Still doing dowries.
Yeah.
Mm.
I have a dowry. It's just a lot of debt that he's gonna have to pay off.
Debt is the new dowry.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like I just think anyone I know, any straight couples I know that have got married for the entire year before the marriage, the woman has to take like basically full ownership of the organization of the entire event.
Yeah.
And it becomes their huge entire job. Identity. Mm-hmm. They also have to completely transform their bodies.
Yeah.
And become strangers to wear a dress for one day. And they have all these procedures. Like I know someone who like 3 weeks out from her wedding went and got like 20 mils of filler in her face.
Oh God.
And 150 into her arse.
That's so risky. Okay, arse, fair enough. But that's so risky to do that into your face.
Like,
what
that
if it wasn't
is wild.
Yeah.
But there's so much pressure.
Yeah, there is.
Well, it's like, that's all like rooted in like the validation of the whole thing. And it's like, see, I did it. I got it all, you know? And that's like, there's that appeal of marriage as well. It's like the appeal of actually having a wedding and having that big day and having that moment of like, being this the belle of the ball.
Yeah.
And all that kind of thing. But yeah, no, definitely a very outdated concept. But also marriage is more appealing, I think, when you're in love.
Yeah. I don't, like, I always say this, like you've probably heard it a million times, but I don't believe in marriage, but I do believe in weddings like a lot.
Mm.
In
oh,
terms
gotcha.
Of like
multiple weddings.
A little party.
Yeah.
With all your friends and family to just celebrate like a little, you know, there's not many opportunities in life to celebrate yourself, and a wedding is a good one. And I think it is nice to celebrate being in love because it's hard to find someone.
Yeah, like I would have always had like a traditional kind of like heteronormative approach to marriage. And then like, I don't know, since I like became single last, I was kind of like, it's kind of changed everything. And now I'm like, actually, I don't know about this. And obviously depends on like what you want, like from your partner and stuff, but it's definitely not like the same trajectory.
Yeah. My biggest nightmare though is like, imagine your best friend is marrying someone that you hate and you have to go to the wedding and pretend to enjoy it. And stuff. I know thousands of people have done that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think I can do that.
Well, like,
or my sister. If you like, I like both my sister's fellas, thank God. But
yeah,
like,
I like my sister's fella too. But like, also like how it becomes like you have to become part of their world and they become part of your world and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like friends and stuff. Like if they do have a dick husband.
Yeah.
And he has to go to all the events and stuff. Like, and everyone's putting on, everyone's bitching about him, but you can't say anything.
Exactly.
Hell.
And he put like, and also I don't want to go to a church wedding ever again in my life.
They do freak me out a little bit. Every time I go to like a church bit of a wedding, I'm just very struck by how this is a very successful cult. Mm. And I'm just like, okay, we're chanting and eating bread that's supposed to symbolize the body of a deity. What is this? This is spooky.
Yeah, if someone was religious, I really wouldn't mind doing it, but I don't know anyone who's actually religious. And I think getting married in a church is really stupid if you're not religious.
Yeah, there's loads of people who do it even though they're literally never go to mass.
They do it because they think that's what you should do. And it's like, no.
Well, my sister recently got married in a church.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it's kind of different. So we grew up across the road from the church.
Oh, yes.
In the haunted house. And I think like for her, it's very like symbolic of like childhood and like, you know, it's kind of something you always dream of growing up. It's like we had this joke about like, you know, we're going to, you know, always people, the bride arrives in like the old car or whatever. We're like, I think it's going to be so gas that you're going to walk across the road to your wedding. So like that was part of the pictures and stuff. It's like, I was literally like carrying her dress across the road to the church. But we had to do the rehearsal, which was kind of funny because I was bridesman for the wedding, which was really cool. I really appreciated that actually, that my sister included me in that way. It was very... very progressive of her.
Wow. Yeah. Genre busting.
Gender bending.
Queer coded.
But it was so funny as well because like lots of the family, like they were like, everyone was joking like, oh, are you going to wear a dress or are you going to wear whatever? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to go and drag. And everyone was freaking that I was going to be at the wedding in drag. Imagine. But we were doing the rehearsal or whatever and there was a few things. Oh, we didn't have any prop rings to practice the rings bit. So I was like, oh, use one of mine. Because I had like boy rings. So I was like, fit the groom. But they were like all like skulls and shit. And the priest is like, oh God, it's like Hell's Angels. But also then in the rehearsal, he said that line that's like, what God has united, no man must separate. And I was like, oh God, I don't like that. Can we not be more like, but girls, like, if you're not having a good time, like... you can tip out, you know, this whole death do you part thing. Like,
yeah,
don't like her.
I think that's so intense.
Yeah. Can we do a constitutional change about that?
Oh, I'm not having those vows in my, I love the thing, but like, I'm not going to say in sickness and in health, I'm not going to say all that stuff because you can't promise that. You actually can't. And like, I'm not going to say till death do us part. I'm going to say something along the lines of I promise to love you and I promise to always think kindly of you. That sounds really cold actually now that I think about it. But like it's going to be something along the lines of like if this doesn't work out, I promise to always keep loving my heart for you and stuff like that.
But it's very like negative reinforcement, isn't it?
What?
It's like, no, you can't leave.
I know, yeah.
Unless one of you dies.
Yeah.
Or this kind of thing where it should be more focused on like the positive sides. It's like you two, while you're together, should try your most to like... yeah, you know, stay in love and like, you know, do the work.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, you know.
I think in this day and
communicate
age,
like, you know, more like therapy speak.
I think in this day and age we have acknowledged that like a relationship is work to keep going. So like it's stupid to pretend like, oh, you know, everything's gonna be easy all the time and like you'll always stay together or whatever. 50% of marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
And that is gonna be my vows. 50% you're gonna open end in divorce. And so good luck.
You're going to also add, if you get sick, you're out of here.
Yeah.
If you get sick, I'm not hanging around.
Yeah.
Because I have my life to live.
Your vows are just going to be like, look, I'm just going to try my best.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of up to you really at this stage.
And don't
like,
put your shit on me.
Yeah. I have enough on my plate right now. Well, I've attended a good few weddings as a performer.
Like in drag.
Yes, and also as a musician.
Oh yeah, I forgot you do that.
I always grew up like playing music in the church and stuff, and I used to play with the singer Yvonne down in Galway, who was fab. Who is fab, she's also not dead. Oh. So I used to play piano and back her. I used to have a joke that like I basically only go to mass if I'm getting paid. now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fierce.
Which
yeah.
is fab. Mm-hmm. And I love being the little faggot in the corner playing a bit of music. I used to do funerals as well, and I'd play like Alejandro acoustic. Don't call my name. Don't call my name.
At a funeral.
At a funeral.
No, you didn't. Did
I swear
you?
To God.
Oh my God.
I'd start like playing background music and people wouldn't know what it is.
Oh, fierce.
And I just like always try and shoehorn a bit of Lady Gaga in.
It's what they would have wanted.
Yeah. But yeah, I used to play like loads of different weddings. We did like a few traveler weddings as well, which was nice. Like gorgeous.
Very glam, I'm sure.
Living during COVID as well. So there was only like 25 there. So I'd say like there was a serious word had said there's only 25 of us here now to represent the glam. Because yeah. It was glam. Like
high camp.
The dress, like you couldn't see the chair under the dress.
Amazing.
No, it's fierce.
That's how a wedding should be.
Like. Oh my God. No, it was gorgeous. And they were like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, it's fab.
I'm so here for the pomp and circumstance.
Honestly, yeah. Well, that's the point of it.
Yeah, and they get these fierce carriages as well. Sometimes, like, and like the horses are even glam. Like it's so fierce.
Oh yeah, those horses have been done up.
This same wedding, they had two like Arctic trucks parked outside the church, so that when they came out, they'd like honk the horns.
Oh, amazing!
I was at a wedding before where I got way too. It was my cousin's wedding a couple of years ago. I got way too drunk, way too early on. I was in bed by like 12.
Oh, goodness.
And I walked home with, my pants were ripped. I had no shoes. I had no jacket. And I just cried. And I got in the door and just started crying. Because look at what you did, you little jerk. But it was very funny because apparently I was going around. Every time I met my cousin, who was the bride, I kept going up to her and going, jeez, I didn't get a minute to talk to you all day. And telling her how gorgeous she was and all this. But every time I saw her, and then the next day, when I strolled down on day two and everyone was like, whoa! And I went up to her and I was like, Sinead, I didn't even get to say hi to you all day yesterday. And she was like, Liam, you kissed me more than my husband did. I was all over.
Oh, I love that.
But anyways, back to playing music for weddings. When me and Annie moved into our humble abode here, we enlisted the help of Annie's former cleaner to help us with a few bits around the house because we're just...
Oh, I thought you meant to move. Did they do that?
No, just...
No, we're busy girls.
We're busy. We're the girl. Hun's on the run.
We are. Yeah, we're trying to have it all, you know?
But she came in the door and I'd never met her before. And she came in the door and my keyboard is in the hallway. And she was just like, you play? And I was like, yeah. You play piano? And
crying?
Like, yeah.
Oh.
She's like, do you do weddings? And I was like, yeah, I've done a few. And she just starts going, she starts fully bawling. And never met the girl before.
No.
And I was like, is everything okay? And she's like, no, you don't understand. She was like, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And she said she had like three musicians and they all pulled out.
No.
So we came in here, we sat down at the table. I was like holding her hand. talking about the wedding. She's like, would you be able to play? And I was like, Yeah, I think I'll be grand. Like, I had work, but I was like, well, I can't say no. Like,
yeah.
But we sat for ages, poor girl, crying her eyes out.
Oh,
and yeah, picked the songs. It was lovely as well.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was in a castle in a very unusual place in Dublin that I didn't know there was a castle in.
Dalkey?
No, it was like Drimna or somewhere. Just me casually saving lives yet again.
Wow.
I've been hearing a lot of stories about like people having weddings lately and like somebody on drugs. Being a wreck. Is it okay to do drugs at a wedding now? Like, is that a thing? I think that's such a no-no. Like, person's family is there and everything. Whatever about when all the grannies go to bed at 12, maybe. Not that I would ever, but you know.
I do hear stories and have been at weddings where people have been accused of imbibing certain powders. My mother was like, well, there's lots of them going to the bathroom anyways, I noticed that. And it's always the other side, the family.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you get a good family feud going.
Yeah.
Anytime I go to a wedding, I start rumours of that nature against all the family members just to cause up drama.
But I love the divvement of a wedding. Like, the real fun of a wedding only starts at like 4 o'clock
it's
in the morning.
Gossiping on. Yeah.
Yeah. Running around hotel rooms and trying not to get caught by people who are telling you to go to bed or whatever.
Yes. And that's only with the groom.
No, but you know what gets me? I have a bit of an issue with day twos because I kind of blow my full load at the wedding. Like, yeah. I have nothing left for day two usually. And also, I've been so festive on the day of the wedding that I don't necessarily want to face
the same people.
The members
again.
Of the congregation.
Yeah.
And anytime I go to a date too, I get a lot of feedback. That, oh, yeah. Positive feedback.
You but don't want
I
it though.
I just can't recall.
Yeah, no, I hate
the
that.
The events of the night. And people are like, oh my God, you're so funny. When? Insert shocking revelation to you about you.
Yeah.
And it happens to me so much. And like, nothing bad ever happens. And usually I go down a storm, but it's just very spooky to.
Yeah.
To be regaled with tales of your own like hijinks. And like literally like a wedding I went to last year, I was like putting lip gloss on someone's uncle. Like,
not shocking at all. Definitely a plumping one too.
Oh, it was. Yeah, like, it was a tingle. It was beautiful. Yeah. But like things like that happen all the time. Mm. And so sometimes like a day two, I'd be like, oh, please don't make me sing.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a wedding in like 10 years. Like last time I was at a wedding, I was a boy.
Oh my
really?
God.
Really?
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Nobody around me got married ever. So actually,
when you are a bit young.
Yeah, but like family and stuff, like they're also boring.
I'm at the age now where all the cousins are getting married. So yeah. It's a couple of years, like.
I wouldn't fret because once you hit like 29, 30, you'll have about 5 weddings a year for about 3 years.
I'm so excited. I know people hate now. Pretend to hate that, but like, oh, I can't wait. Oh, I'm not buying anything for them. My presence is the gift.
Yeah. I'm so sorry to tell you, but that's not allowed. You have to buy clothes. You have to get transport. You have to pay for your hotel and you have to give a gift.
Okay,
and you have
Mom.
To get your drinks. Honestly. No, honestly, it can be the most expensive time of your life. Mm. Trust me.
But by then our small business, Dune Slayers Incorporated, will have been quite established. So
yeah, well, if Hunky Farm and Calendars are happy with their work... And
fatherly fun and fantasies to do catering.
Okay, so I think it's time for questions now. We've had a few come in about marriage and love, etc. Do you have anything particular for us, Donna?
Yes, this is from a listener called Tug of War.
Okay.
My wife wants me to stop masturbating to anything that isn't a picture or video of her. My wife told me after 5 years that she wants me to stop watching porn, which also included naked pictures of other women and even hentai.
That's cartoon porn.
Hentai.
So basically, I slipped up and started watching porn again after a few months because it didn't really click how serious it was since I've been doing it my whole life. I apologized to my wife and promised her I would never watch porn again. Everything is fine. Other than the fact I cannot masturbate anymore and the pictures of my wife aren't working. I am attracted to my wife, but I think it's just weird to masturbate to her.
Yeah.
It feels weird every time and also makes me feel resentful, like I'm being forced to masturbate to her / worship her. More detail. I have a very high sex drive and my wife has a very low sex drive. Mm-hmm. Porn has never gotten in the way of us having sex. I wouldn't even be watching porn if we had sex more than 1 to 2 times a week. But after 3 days of no sex, I need to at least masturbate, and that's where the porn comes in. And I'm also fine with not watching porn at all. Because I know why my wife doesn't like porn in the first place, because a lot of women are sometimes tricked into being in videos or even trafficked. Okay.
Okay.
So okay.
It's an ethical
consumption is what yeah. you really want.
I just feel like it's a little overboard being told I cannot even look at pictures of other women or drawings of them. The only person I've ever had sex with is my wife. My wife has also always been worried I would cheat on her. I told her I would watch porn and jerk off before I ever cheated on her. What am I supposed to do now that I can't even watch porn or jack off?
Jack off.
Jack off. I feel like her insecurity has actually put me in a position where I very well could be tempted to cheat out of sexual frustration.
Oh, no.
Oh, you lost me.
Oh, no, you lost me. No.
Okay, there's a lot there.
There is a lot there. But, like, come on.
Okay, I famously don't really have opinions, but I... That's a joke.
opinions no, are like sorry. Arseholes. Layla doesn't have one.
Well, I think this is a great opportunity for the use of AI and deepfake technology, because if he downloaded a video of anyone doing porn, he could just deepfake his wife's face onto the girl and then everybody wins.
Yeah, but this is kind of Madonna whore complex, isn't it? Because like you're saying, his wife doesn't get him going. in a porn sense, but in the real sense.
Yeah.
He says he feels weird jacking off to her.
But I get it. Like, porn is such a different experience. It's, yeah, exactly. It's such fantasy. And I think, like, well, I've never been with someone that long, but like, if you told me that I had to just masturbate to the same person for the rest of my life, I'd be quite distressed by that. I like to mix it up. You know?
Yeah, well, it's like saying you can only watch documentaries for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
no, that is she is being so overboard, and yeah,
she's just too insecure.
It doesn't even sound like he's porn addicted either. It just sounds like he masturbates because they don't have sex as often as he'd like, which is very normal in a relationship.
He's going up to 3 days without a tug,
and then,
which I think is very impressive.
Masturbating without porn, I think, is very difficult in this day and age because it's so accessible.
Well, I think it's good to do it every now and again.
To prove it to yourself.
Just to keep your imagination going.
Just like it's good to take a day off drinking every now and again.
Absolutely. But also, I think, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Like, they're basically in two different lanes.
Yeah.
Like, wanking is one thing, and then having sex with your partner is, like, about so much more. It's about, like, intimacy and connection.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just want to release.
Yeah.
And she can't police his thoughts. Like, if he didn't watch porn, he could imagine sexual scenarios with somebody else as well. And what is she going to, I don't know, try and like control what he thinks about when he's wanking?
Yeah.
She's going to like hold his hand.
But I genuinely think masturbation and sex are very different things.
They totally are.
Masturbation is like a personal thing.
Yeah.
And then like, obviously if like mutual masturbation or whatever, but like masturbation is very personal, and then sex is not, is personal, but like intimate. It's like you're sharing something, you know?
Like sometimes you can be in the mood for a wank, but not sex. Like sometimes
totally.
You don't want someone looking at you or like inside you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You just want to have a nice little time by yourself.
Yeah.
You know? See, I just don't think that wife understands the nuance. I think she's getting too caught up in insecurity.
I'd like to hear from her side of you, like why she's so bothered by porn and stuff like that. But like, I get that the whole thing about the ethics, but there are ethical sources of porn, like if that's really her issue.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that is her issue.
You can pay for it.
I think she's just saying
no,
that.
she's fronting.
Yeah, because how is hentai unethical?
That was drawn.
Well, did you not hear the harrowing backstory of Jessica Rabbit? But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. So she doesn't really care about the girls. She cares about her husband looking at the girls.
Like, it's very distressing to like be like, oh, you can only masturbate to me. Like, I totally get why he's in his head then, because he's like, okay, I'm going to masturbate. And then he's like, oh, wait, I have to do it to my wife. And then that's not sexy at all.
But that also, like, you get sick of Anthem.
Yes. Yeah,
do you know? Whereas, like, if I can watch a bit of porn and then, like, have sex with my partner or whatever, then that's, like, whereas if I just had to, like, rely on just sex with them or whatever, like,
what is it, the 1950s?
You just get sick of that.
Yeah,
but is she providing stuff? Like, if she provided maybe a new video every 3 days or something like that.
Why doesn't she pick the movie tonight?
Yeah.
And they watch it together.
Yeah.
Well, like so many couples don't communicate well about sex because it's such a taboo topic for everybody. So it's she probably isn't sexually gratified, maybe because she doesn't know how to express what she needs or wants.
Yeah.
And she's intimidated by his high sex drive, and she feels ashamed that she can't meet him there.
She's not fulfilling
him. Yeah. It sounds like a lot of insecurity. There is no normal when it comes to sex life. Some people will have sex once a month and be happy with that. Some people will have sex, if they don't have sex for a day, they'll think there's something wrong with the relationship. Like, it's a very personal and individual thing. And it sounds like he's really understanding and fine, because
it does sound like it. Yeah. He is.
Well, even the fact
apart
that
from the part at the end where he said he's thinking of cheating on her, because but everything else.
But her, like, him doing the cheating thing would be just leaning into a really tired cliche response to the situation. And I just think they just need to both level up and just talk properly.
Talk about it.
Maybe go to a sex therapist. I know, Layla, you're thinking of setting up your own practice soon.
Yes, I am. Yes. Yeah,
so
with all
that'll
my
be
experience.
A smart gig.
Lelo lay.
Putting the lay into Layla. And you always finish your sessions with a happy ending, don't you?
Always. For both parties.
Happily ever after.
She's ambidextrous, girls.
I'm straight, but it doesn't mean I won't try. Actually, a girl asked me for my number last weekend, and I gave it to her. And then I had to text her and say, sorry, I'm straight. I didn't know what to do. No, but I feel bad when somebody comes up and asks me for my number in the smoking area, because I'm like, well done, like, good for you. And I don't want to be like, no, to them there. Whereas if I'm like, listen, it was so nice chatting with you, I'm flattered, but I'm actually straight. Do you think that's just weird that I gave
that would have been a
number?
Better response than, yes, here's my number.
Kind of lead really? Her on, yeah.
Oh,
which is actually worse,
know.
Baby.
Is it worse?
Yeah, baby.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So many broken lesbian hearts in the city.
I know. Yeah. Well, actually.
You're lucky, though, because you'd probably be married by now.
See, yeah, you see, probably would.
When I'm drunk, I know you know this, I'm so lovey-dovey. Like, I'm really in people's faces and then I'm like, no wonder they always think I'm gay. Like, well,
Leila, I experienced this, like, firsthand at the recent wig show.
What was I doing?
Nothing, no, you were just so lovey-dovey and I just didn't know what to do. It was like...
what did you take? What did you take? I was literally only on drink.
Yeah, it was like, it was very adorable.
Sorry, back to these guys.
As usual, it's all the woman's fault.
She's hysterical. Again, yeah. Another example of a woman needing morphine and a vibrator.
Yeah, or lobotomy.
Why did we get rid of that as a therapy, honestly?
But I do, like, he does seem to be trying to understand where she's coming from. So I'm, like, proud of him in that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's just way more they could do to communicate there.
I think he has a more pragmatic approach to it than she seems to. Because he's kind of like...
He's tried to do it her way and it's not worked for him because, you know, it's not realistic. Whereas she's not really, like...
She's like, you're basically cheating.
Yeah.
She's saying that, which I think is absolute hogwash.
It sounds like she's a woman with problems around sex and sexuality, which I don't know if
anyone's ever
encountered that before.
That's so weird. Why would a woman have any shame around
sex? It's really blowing up on TikTok now, yeah.
Yeah, it's like trending. In for 2024, sexual shame in females. Yes,
for women.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck. Any other letters, girls?
Okay, I have a letter here from San Fran Fine. It says, I married a stranger in San Francisco when I was 21. I'm 30 next month and I'm still married with no idea where the other culprit is.
Culprit?
Basically, if you're in university or college, you can get a summer visa to work in the US. I went with a friend who was going with a group of her friends. One friend brought another friend and we all ended up working together. Anyways, after many bottles of $7 champagne and a healthy dose of being fired, a brainwave passed between us and we thought it would be hilarious if myself and the girl I had been living with for 3 weeks went and got married.
Okay.
So that's what we did.
Lesbians!
Is this like, are they gay or are they, okay. We got married because the manager at the bar we went to every evening declared that there was a free keg of beer if we did it penniless and jobless, and in the famous words of Don Corleone, she made an offer we couldn't but really should have refused. It's been closer to nine years now and I have no idea where my wife is. She got on a bus on a Sunday about 8 years ago and I suppose she got lost somewhere in the Irish transport system.
Oh God, like my old Nokia phone.
I'm now 2.5 years into the happiest relationship with my current partner, who was actually at my wedding and threw the rice over my head as we passed over the bar threshold. We met in San Fran, worked together, went to my wedding together, didn't see each other for 6 years, met as friends during the pandemic, and in the early days she thought it was hilarious to tell everyone she was the other woman. She's now most definitely, if not legally, the other woman. To cut a long story short, is there any advice on gay divorce that's not going to cost me a mini mortgage or going to Liam Neeson on tracking my wife's whereabouts? Big fan, X. Oh, that's nice. Her wife is missing.
This is a missing persons report.
This is like Shelley Miscavige.
Shelley Miscavige.
The wife of the leader of the Scientology church. She's missing.
Oh yes.
Hey. You know about Shelley.
Yeah,
babies.
Oh my God. I wonder, are these lesbian Scientologists also? Is that in their longer letter?
That's the sequel to Lesbian Vampire Killers, isn't it?
Yeah, lesbian Vampire Scientologists. I think she's just going to have a double life. She's going to have to split her time between the coasts.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to have a separate family in San Francisco. And then she can continue this with the new fling, the new hussy on the scene. But, you know, you can't forget about your wife from 10 years in.
I think she should make it gas, do like a social media campaign being like, where is my wife?
Ooh.
Okay, find your one, explain the circumstances and divorce her. And I'm sure it will cost, like, you can do a makey-uppy divorce. Like, you can do it yourself. I know people who've done that.
Can you do divorce in absentia or something?
Well, maybe.
I don't know if you can in Ireland.
This feels like something you'd know about anyway.
You can send someone in your place. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a sponsor for your confirmation.
Yeah.
You just send your sponsor from your confirmation.
So my auntie.
Yeah, I hope they both did their confirmation because then they can send the sponsor.
I'm adding that to my list of skills on my website, actually. You can hire me to go to your divorce if you want.
Yeah, in full costume.
Yes.
Oh, you can do like a full character development.
Yeah, like proper like glam woman at the divorce court.
Before this this listener gets divorced, I would maybe check what could be gained financially from staying in the marriage.
Yeah.
Perhaps they might lose assets. Maybe the wife has like multiple homes.
Maybe she's Jeff Bezos's like niece or something.
Yeah, maybe like she's ago, a trust Amazon fund baby. Nothing.
Maybe.
Yeah. And when they got married, the trust wasn't released yet. See, I think she's a bit hasty now. I think, you know, she needs to respect the sanctity of marriage. And as they say in the vows, till death do you part. So I think she needs to stay married forever because she's still alive.
Unless she's poor.
Oh, yeah. If the wife is poor, then yeah, just get a quickie annulment.
Well done on finding your dreamy girly, though. And it was nice that she was at the wedding, too.
But also, yeah. 30 and on your second marriage, relax.
Yeah. That's lesbians, though.
That is lesbians.
They just move. They move fast.
Yeah.
I have a letter as well. It's a brief one now.
I've written a letter to Daddy.
And it's kind of like buyer's remorse kind of vibes. So it's from a listener called Betty Bought a Bit of Husband.
Oh, God. Okay.
And she says, well, this I'm assuming husband's... gender. I'm assuming gender again. Who am I, Layla? They said, I don't think I'm in love with my man, but I don't think I could ever do any better. Should I break up with him and be sad and alone?
Why couldn't you do any better?
Insecurity. Oh, is that you again? We haven't much to go off there, so I'm going to presume that you actually couldn't do better.
Yeah. We have to make a few
assumptions.
It's the
healthy approach.
We have to take them at face value, so we have to trust their judgment.
Okay.
And they believe they could not do any better.
Yeah. Right.
But do maybe see a therapist about that.
But what's wrong with doing worse?
Better stories.
More exciting.
Yeah.
More on your level. But if you feel like you're not good enough for someone, then maybe be with someone who you're better than. Because then you're going to feel better all the time. Because you're like if you are with someone who's like an absolute mess and is like, I don't know, stupid and uncultured or whatever. And then you can just spend your whole life just going, oh, God.
Oh, my God. And yeah, everyone's saying that you could do better.
Yeah.
That would be fierce.
And then you could hold that, you could dangle that carrot in front of them being like, you know, I could have had it so much better with John. You know that, right?
That sounds really happy and
you
fulfilling.
You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
Did that inspire the song, Don't You Want Me, Baby? It's kind of that theme, isn't it? I was working as a waitress in
a cocktail.
Because he's basically like, I made you. Like, no, you didn't, but he did. With this one, I think... so they don't think they're in love with the man.
I do think if you're not in love with someone, then you need to not be with them.
It's just not fair.
Set them free
to find a fulfilling.
It's not fair. You can't just stay with someone because you're like, oh, well, I don't think I'm going to do better than him.
No, it's a stupid reason to stay with someone.
It's very selfish.
Not good to you, and it's not good to, definitely not good to them.
But maybe he, well, what's the problem with him?
The question
she
is,
she just doesn't love him, is it?
Should they?
You're assuming genders.
Yes, were they them? Should I break up with him and be sad and alone? But
give it a whack.
Yeah, like
again, the memoirs be popping.
Why are you gonna stay in a relationship with someone you're not in love with just because you don't want to be alone? Like that's
girls' common theme.
Yeah.
Those people don't want to be alone.
But there's such a difference between being alone and being lonely. Do you know? Being alone is fierce. But being lonely is not. So people are afraid. They equate the two.
Yeah, because like the song Alone by Heart is fierce, whereas the song Lonely by Akon is not fierce.
If you're afraid of being single, I don't think you should be in a relationship. Maybe that's not true. Maybe you did find the one that you love.
But like, I agree, actually.
If you're afraid of being single, then you're only going to stay in a relationship that maybe is not serving you. I don't know. It's a really bad thing to be afraid to be single, I think.
You're hiding, aren't you? A little bit.
Yeah.
I think the problem is like, okay, so everyone's obviously single until they have like their first proper relationship. It's after kind of, I think after first heartbreak is when you actually start to be single, if you choose to be single. Because that's what it means. Because... you know, your first kind of relationship is like, oh, grand. Like, you kind of slip into it, you know? Mm. Whereas, like, being single, like, basically being older and being single is, like, more scary or whatever. And that's what people are afraid of. Whereas, like, that's where all the work is done, because you can't really grow as a person in a relationship. I'm sorry.
In certain ways, yeah, I agree.
And you're better off figuring out who the fuck you are and then finding someone who is complimentary to that.
And if you're listening to that and thinking, well, like, I'm met the love of my life and I've only ever been with them, personal growth is overrated. We're just saying that because we it didn't work out with us the first time.
We're all just saying that because we're single.
Yeah, honestly. Honestly. We're like, you need to grow. You cannot find your love too early. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it obviously depends on the type of growth, because...
Yeah, and who you're with, obviously.
Yeah. But, like, there's certain types of growth that you can only really achieve by yourself unless you have a partner who, like, can facilitate it in a way.
Mm, in a healthy way.
Yeah, which is hard to find.
It
know?
Is, yeah.
Especially if both of them have, like, important growth to do. I don't think it can really be helpful if they're both struggling to get somewhere. It doesn't really help that they're together.
You're very afraid of personal growth, aren't you? That's why you...
I've had so many personal growths, I've had to have them removed.
That's what I was going to say. That's why you're afraid. That's why you have to go to the doctor every year.
That's why I've had all those ultrasounds.
Yeah, I think this person just needs to choose what type of misery they want. Do they want misery in a loveless relationship, or do they want the misery of staring into the abyss alone?
Choosing the misery of a loveless relationship, I just don't think is very fair to the person you're with.
Well, relationships and marriage rely a lot on being aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Unfortunately, like, you know, things like that change. Famously, we have Kyle and Mauricio who are going through a rough patch.
Oh, devastating.
Do you know, because they're not aligned anymore.
I'm still upset about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, to be fair.
Angelina Jolie, you whore!
I'm still upset about Marilyn Monroe and Joe Pasquale.
Joe Pasquale, Joe DiMaggio,
yeah,
was it
not? I realised
Joe
that
Pasquale
when I
was The Price is Right.
I realised the minute I said it that it was Joe DiMaggio, and I was like, I hope no one points that out, but here we are.
Oh.
I do think there are periods in relationships though as well where you're going to be like, feel like you maybe don't love that person so much, but like, if you think that there's a chance of getting it back or working on it, then obviously do that. But like, if you think that your time together has come to an end, but you're afraid to end it, then just end it, babe.
I think it's just about being like realistic about the nature of like human beings and life, and you know, people can evolve, things can change, and you know, it's not this whole like, there's so many like dogmatic sort of like black and white like thinking or like thoughts around relationships and stuff, and it's all very like forever and you know, a thunderclap and
very
like
ultimate, yeah,
very that like it's biblical almost, but it's it like we're just spending time together,
yeah.
Do you know,
it all starts out of like, oh, I just really like you and vibe with you or whatever, and then it just descends into like, yeah, obligation and these kind of weird things like
possession.
That's why the formalization process of marriage is it's a bit icky, because like...
Exactly.
And the fact that people can be together unmarried and people are like, when you get married, would you not get married? Are you not going to get married?
It's like that's too much.
It's so... I do love the idea of like, I wake up every day and I choose you.
Oh, God.
Ew.
That was very un-Donna fella thing to say. That was horrifically
but like,
sentimental.
Having the opportunity to choose someone every day and not feel like, oh...
You're
why
tied
am I married
into
that
it.
Yoke?
Oh, I suppose.
Do you know? It's like, you could leave them. You could just leave them. And it's like, it's not that bad. Don't worry.
Yeah, I prefer just to be like, you know, I could leave you at any moment. That's how I would phrase it.
Oh my God, we never talked about the fact that I'm an ordained minister.
And fortunately, that is all we have time for this week on Doomslayers. If you would like to share your doom with us, please do follow the link in our bio on our Instagram at DoomslayersPod. And remember,
divorce in California? That's exactly what she wants you to do.
Doomslayers are not responsible for any injuries, impalements, prolapses, tweakments, fissures, timeshares, negative equity, large hadron collision, small savings, epiphanies, or failed use of verifications. Hereunto experienced and or endured by the listener in response to any advice administered and witness whereof the parties hereunto have set their hands to these presents as a deed on the day, month, and year herein before mentioned. Doomslayers Incorporated is a subsidiary of Hunky Fireman Calendars Limited, which is a registered trademark acquisition of Fatherly Fond and Fancies and Sons. Any attempts to slander or sodomize the Doomslayer name could result in cancellation of any outstanding prize bonds and or death.